This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody doing today?
Great to be with you on the show.
Todd unfortunately had what he referred to as, quote, a weekend.
A round of golf and a surprise 50th birthday party did not go well. I mean, it went well, but it did not go well.
In what way didn't it go well?
Because it was a 50th birthday party and we decided that we were 25 again. And I am not.
Oh, boy.
I had to get a new phone. That's how it ended.
Oh, that sounds adventurous. in a startling revelation, networks have came up with a kickoff time for Illinois. Where do we find these people? And they already have the kickoff, by the way, for UCLA. It's noon. Which, the last I checked, is 9 o'clock Pacific time. That's just me.
Oh, yeah. USC's the away game, right?
Yeah.
All right. I was like, they're kicking off at 9 o'clock on the West Coast.
No. This is going to be the... UCLA. UCLA, which, by the way, played LSU really well. Tied 17 at halftime at Baton Rouge. Second half, though, was all LSU. And into the credit of LSU, they outscored them 17-0. Well, this week UCLA has Oregon at home in the Rose Bowl. So, yeah.
I saw Harold Perkins got hurt, and it doesn't sound good either, which isn't great.
Yeah, for LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yep. That's a tough one. You don't want to see anybody get hurt. You know, significant player like that, which he is. Big issue. So, let's start with the Eagles. We'll get to Penn State football in a little bit. Defense played terrific football yesterday. Nobody's been able to slow down New Orleans in any way, shape, or form in the first couple of games until the Eagles. The Eagles did a great job of slowing down in every way, shape, and form New Orleans yesterday. Alvin Kamara really couldn't get going. Terrific job on David Carr. I mean, credit where credit's due. They played really well defensively. I thought the secondary played great. There's just a lot of things about it where you sit back and go, wow, that was one heck of a performance. Jalen Carter, who had essentially been in the football version of the witness protection program since November of last year, because he got, you know, the first 11 games last year, he played really well. And then the last six games, and then into the playoffs, I wasn't even sure he was on the roster. Start of this season, wasn't even sure he was on the roster. Because he hadn't played well. Well, then on yesterday, he was terrific. Not good. He was terrific in that game. Just an outstanding performance by him. And then he goes out and he ruins it. His character issue showed up again, yelling at the fans, yelling at the Saints. Like, what's wrong with you? And I don't care what they're yelling at him. You won. Walk off the field, go in the locker room. You don't need to deal with anybody. Okay? The bigger person does that. What's wrong with him? It was an embarrassment. And that, you know, the Eagles have an organizational problem because they tolerate stuff like this. They tolerate it. Well, he's so talented. No. You've overlooked a lot. And again, did I praise his performance? Did I? I said he played a great game, because he did. He played a great game, and then he embarrassed the organization afterward. And I don't care what they're yelling at him. Who cares? Leave. You won. Go to the locker room. You got the ultimate over them. You have more points. And the Eagles' defense was tremendous in this game. Not good, tremendous. After what happened with Atlanta, they made up for it in a big, big way. Saquon Barkley bailed them out. And he bailed out his head coach in the process. This is something where... How often did you hear Joe Davis yesterday? And, you know, they get this in conversations with the coaches about recapturing, quote, their mojo. From 2 years ago, right? That's what they kept saying, correct?
Yes.
And you want to know why they're struggling on certain things with decision making? Because of an attitude like that. Now, why do I say that? I have no issue with somebody going for it on fourth down. But there are always three primary factors that come into the decision to go for it on fourth down. I don't play the analytics game. I don't, you know, I'm not gonna play that game. That I could care less about that. But it has to be time, score, and situation. Okay? Time, score, and situation. Every time. Every time. That's what you have to make your decision on. It is not getting back your mojo from 2 years. Here's why. You have a completely different team than 2 years ago. Your quarterback's the same. More error prone, but the same. Your center's different. You were playing this game without your right tackle because Lane Johnson, unfortunately, was sick. You have a new running back. You have different guys on defense. It's a different team now than 2 years ago. So you have to take into account what my personnel can and can't do. Not what we're forcing you to do. You cannot play the game a square peg round hole, which is what he's doing. He's playing square peg, round hole. Why? This is what we do. Well, guess what? I don't have Jason Kelce anymore. Okay? I'm not using the tailback to push him from behind. What am I doing here? What am I doing? And again, time, score, and situation dictates whether you go for it on fourth down. Situation can mean a bunch of things, including positioning on the field, the actual distance to get it. When I see that, he has no feel for what's going on out there. He has no feel for it. You can't force it. It's got to be an organic decision. And the other team's expecting you to do it now. Now, they won the game 15-12, and he gets away with it. But that's all he did yesterday was get away with it. That's what I want out of my coach? We got away with bad decision-making? The stuff he did yesterday made no sense to me. I sat there and went, and when they're talking, now obviously it's not something where Joe Davis and Greg Olson were sitting there and came up with whatever. They didn't sit there and just come up with something. They got that information on recapturing their mojo from him. Right?
It's strange to me because ever since that, you know, the skid happened last year, the stuff he says in the media, it makes me wonder why they brought him back. I wonder what he said to Jeffrey Lurie in the winter that he was able to keep his job. Just, you know, you know, like you said, the getting the mojo back and trying to recapture magic from 2 years ago. And, you know, every season, every game is different, as you well know. I just find it, just some of the stuff that he says is just a little strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, I will be, it's easy for me to be straight with everybody on this because they know, as people that listen to the show a good portion of the time, they've always known that I've never been big on him. All right? I've always said that. I've never been big on him as a head coach. There was something about him that didn't quite sit with me as to what he does, how he acts, how he reacts. You know, and then now we've seen a lot of this come up. So everybody knows I've never been a major proponent of him anyway as a head coach. But now we're seeing every time you were sitting there and you're square pegging round holes, we're gonna force this. What are you forcing it for? I'm totally confused. Why are you forcing this? It makes no sense to me. And there are certain times where you go for it, where I'll be the first guy to say, yep, I'd go for it. Again, to me, it's time, score, and situation. And he just does it. When you're doing stuff to do it, that doesn't help. When you're just doing it to do it. And that's what he's doing it. This is who we are. We're doing it to do it. Okay. That's all right. But they won the game 50. His defense was great. His running back that they brought in to do this bailed him out big time. I thought Hurts was okay yesterday. I didn't think he was great. And I realized he didn't have Brown. Then at one point he lost Smith. That was a hard hit. Oof. Smith is such a tough, tough, tough player. I mean, he's a tough kid. Right? For him to come off the field after that, he may be wiry, but he is tough.
I was going to say, you don't reach that level with that body type without being pretty darn tough.
You're darn right. I mean, and he is. I think Devontae Smith's a special player.
Sounds like Lane Johnson's banged up, too, which is...
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about, time, score, situation. Yeah. I've got a new center. My right tackle, who's been all-world in his career, is out. Right? That changes my decision-making a little bit as to what to do. Right? And don't sit there and tell me, oh, next man up. No, there's a reason why the other guy's starting. Okay, there we go. I just thought I'd mention that to you. There's a reason why he's starting. I always love that. You have no choice but next man up. But it does affect your decision making as to which man is up. Okay? I don't know. He's different. Meanwhile, the Steelers, let's give them credit where credit's due because their defense is playing great every game. And Justin Fields is playing well. He is doing what you need to do to win games. I realized yesterday was a day where they had one turnover and the Chargers had none. But for the most part, the Steelers have been the team that has been playing, for the most part, mistake-free football. They're allowing their defense to win the game.
I saw somebody ask, and I think it was somebody asked Neil yesterday on X. I don't know if there's, you know, the Steelers are 3-0, and the NFL's been fairly mediocre the whole way through it so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody right now better than the Steelers in this early part of the season?
Anybody better?
Maybe the Vikings?
Yeah, except Darnold has an MRI coming up.
Yeah, that's an issue. And can they go back to Russell right now?
Well, I wouldn't.
No.
I mean, only because the formula you have right now to win includes him, Justin Fields, a quarterback, and they're winning.
Yeah.
All right. Probably should take a break. Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15, Almost Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and is Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
I wouldn't go back until I'm given a reason to. I'm 3-0 with this guy. Now, is he a big reason why they're winning? He's helping them win. He's not the big reason why. But he's helping them win. He threw one interception yesterday. Okay, that's fine. He threw one. All right. But other than that, I thought the rest of the time he played, outside of the one pick, mistake-free football, they're letting their defense win. They've got a place kicker that allows them to get the ball to the 35-yard line with a chance to score. Okay. It's pretty good, don't you think? You don't have to get the ball deep in the territory. You get the ball at the 35-yard line. Boswell's going to get a chance to score.
I was the desk guy last night, so I was putting all the box in. There was more missed field goals this week than there was in the first couple weeks of the season, at least.
Well, yeah, but back to Sirianni, by the way. He does send out Elliott to kick, what, a 60-yard field goal?
Yeah, which he nailed.
No, he missed.
Did he miss? Oh, yeah, he did.
I'm talking about the first one. He missed. Okay. Again, time, score, situation. In warm-ups, he hit the 60-yard field goal when it was right down the middle. In warm-ups, he missed his field goals, all of them from the hash marks. Where was the ball?
Hash mark.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. When he finally makes the decision to go for a field goal, you're like, you sure you want the ball there?
an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Tide has a 50th birthday party. And in the end, it sounds like we needed Purdy Insurance.
As long as it's personal, no property was damaged other than my phone.
Are you sure about this?
So far.
Are you sure? I need time to do some inventory. This half hour, by the way, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street, Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They're the ones that do the job to get it done for you. You have multiple insurance needs. And since you do, that means you need to go with the pros who can handle it all. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. By the way, I've got to give you this one. Now, we're in a picayune world where people want to, you know, make picayune little comments about when mistakes are made. Right? The vast majority of mistakes, vast, are completely insignificant. But to me, just out of fun, it doesn't hurt once in a while to bring them up and have a little fun with it. And it's only under the guise of having fun. I get the email today from the Big Ten about voting for the basketball preseason team. Okay. That's fine. So, all right, let's do it. And except I look at the email. And the email says, if you could get this to us by the 28th of October, that's when we need it by. We're going to release it on October 1st. Excuse me? What? wait a second. What?
So the TV money went for a time machine?
Now, David is a great guy. Okay? Not a good guy. David's a great guy. And I just sat back and went, you got to be kidding me. I mean, now that stuff, does it happen? Yes, it happens. Okay? And I'm only having, because David's a great guy and does great work. But I said that, I said, well, we'll be getting one a little bit later saying, correction, I'm sure they mean September 28th. Right? It's like, just one of those, like okay. Now, where is it here? Here it is. I just got it. My apologies. The voting deadline is Thursday. It's September. He's got Thursday, September 28th, and he means that Saturday.
He's having a Monday.
How about if I just do it tonight? David. Right. And he is a hard worker and a great, not a good dude, he's a great dude. I mean, really. Hard worker, great guy. But there would be somebody that went, can you believe this? I mean, no, come on. Okay, a mistake that is bad is somebody who sets the at a four-way intersection, sets the flashing yellow light at all four. Okay, that's bad. Okay, sending out the wrong date as to when you're supposed to have your ballot in for the All Big Ten preseason is minuscule and is something that we can laugh at. I saw that one. Uh-oh. And then when he said it back again, I meant Thursday, September 28th. No, Thursday's the 26th. Oh, David. Oh. No. I'll just do it tonight. We're good. I got time tonight. Because today is the first day of basketball practice anyway. Yeah. You know, it's
You mean colleges can practice today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, today's the first day of practice. I'm going to go over to that this afternoon. Football's off anyway. I'm going to go over to that this afternoon, watch the first day of practice. And I'll go later in the week, too. I'll go a couple times a week, at least early on in the season, depending on the schedule. There'll be a lot of days where, just based on timing, I'll be able to combine the two. I mean, I probably can go tomorrow. Now, sometimes there's an event at the Jordan Center, and, you know, it's like the place is under lock and key. You're like, okay, great.
I can't believe I didn't see any Midnight Madness stuff.
It's because people aren't doing it anymore.
No, I was going to say.
Remember, it used to be October 15th. It used to be the start date. Yeah, but now with the season starting November 4th, I mean, the season's not starting November 12th through the 15th anymore. It's starting 10, 11 days earlier. So the first day is today. Yeah, it's,
Well, somebody should have reached out to Mr. Griffin.
No, not on the first day. No. Wait till John has an off day.
Yeah.
Okay, they get one off day a week, okay? So you wait till John's got an off day. You know, on the first day, no need. We're also in the middle of a football season, too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not going to have the impact. For example, I know Penn State men's basketball goes today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. They're off Thursday. They will go Friday. They're actually going Saturday. 2 to 4, the Illinois games at night. Off day Sunday. Then they'll go Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday's a later practice. I think that's got to be because of class schedules. And Wednesday, 2 to 5. Thursday next week is an off day because media day is the 3rd. That's why they have to have that vote in by the 1st. Going to do that in Rosemont. They're going to scrimmage Villanova on the 12th, but that's the day of the USC game. What is that? I think they're going to go scrimmage at Lebanon Valley, aren't they? Yeah, they're going to play an exhibition game at Lebanon Valley on the 25th, so I won't be able to go either one of them. I'm at USC one, and the other one I'll be in Wisconsin. So I'll see you in practice. I'll figure it out on my own.
Wonder how Lebanon Valley College got an exhibition game. It's like there's some connections there somewhere.
Wonder how that happened between Pat and Mike. Yeah. About that. How'd that happen?
I'm not surprised something's not named after one of them down there.
I think it is.
Yeah, well.
let me ask you about... high school on Friday night. I mean, you went to Warrior Run Lewisburg. I mean, Lewisburg must be really good.
Yes, they are. I think people were concerned because they had given up some pass yards the last couple weeks, and that was Warrior Run's
M.O.
M.O., and they did a real good job shutting down the pass.
I fill in spots.
And they just, it was one of those things, it ended up 24-0, but after the first two drives, you kind of could tell that Warrior Run didn't have much for them. You know, Lewisburg was kind of able to move the ball on the ground at will, and it was just kind of a matter of would Warrior Run ever figure out how to solve their defense, and they never really did. They got it inside the 10 in the fourth quarter, but a Lewisburg sophomore stepped in front of a pass and picked it off, and that kind of ended the threat.
Okay. Well, all right. Hey, great. I think that's just great football right there. I love it. I mean, the people of Lewisburg, I mean, I realize with Bucknell there, maybe it takes a little bit of energy to get excited about Lewisburg high school football. Would that be fair?
When they're good, they come out, and there was a real good crowd from both sides on Friday night. I think, you know, they're coming up into a stretch of their schedule. They play Loyal Sock, who is 4-1 next week, and then I believe the Shamokin game's the week after that, so... I think they're going to have some pretty good crowds, and they are really getting into it. It is a really good football team, and it is nice to see.
And Seals Grove won, right?
Yeah, they were down 17-7 late in the third quarter and rallied to win 21-20.
Wow. And then, I hate to say this, but Shikellamy scored, right? They scored.
I think they did.
They had 13 points, didn't they?
Yeah, and it's a whole mess down there. But it kind of seems like with an interim coach that kind of the tension has gone away. Bill Bowman covered the game, and he just said, you know, they played pretty well, and Jersey Shore is just flat out better than they are. But
yeah,
they were able to. They've always defended them well, and they've always played well against them. They haven't necessarily beat them all the time, but they played well. They held them in check for a while, but again, Jersey Shore was just so much. I mean, there's some years. There was a year I think Schick was 1-9 or 2-8 where Jersey Shore was undefeated a couple years ago, and Jersey Shore only managed 13 points against them. But it's, you know, we'll see. The winnable games are coming up in these next couple weeks. You know, Bloomsburg is okay, but is more on the level of Schick, and they also play Central Mountain in the next couple weeks as well.
Yeah. But they need to win a couple games.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you just can't keep going along saying we're getting better. You got to win at some point. I'm trying to be fair here.
Yeah, the Bloomsburg game is winnable, but maybe not as winnable as we thought it was, because I think they only lost at Loyal Sock 20-13. So the teams they've lost to are they've lost to three undefeated teams and a team that's 4-1.
Yeah,
and then Central Mountain's is struggling right now. They're down to their second string quarterback, and they were already struggling to begin with. I mean, I don't know if you saw that score, but Shamokin put 63 on him in the first half. Mm.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah. I actually do look at the scores on Friday night all the time. So I do take the time to look at the scores because I just think it's important to at least stay as in tune as possible. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, did you see Bowling Green?
Almost. Gave old Texas A&M some problems as well on the road.
Well, you want to know how they lost the game?
Oh, I did not see how they lost.
Now, this goes back to the third quarter. But they lost the final was 26-20, Texas A&M won. Okay. But Bowling Green blocked a punt. Oh, by the way, Fannin, the tight end, had 145 yards rushing. Just in case you were wondering. I mean, he's just a good player. But they blocked a punt, Bowling Green, in the third quarter at the 8-yard line to Texas A&M. Couldn't get the touchdown and missed the field goal.
Eesh.
That's how they ended up like, oh, no, you're kidding me, really. That's what happened. Hmm.
That is going to hang on them, I bet, for a while.
They're a good team. They're a good team. They can hang with a lot of people. I mean, to do that in back-to-back weeks or like 2 weeks apart like that, I give them all the credit in the world. I mean, all the credit in the world. And I already mentioned the UCLA is the noon game. So that's all set. Yeah. Finally figured out when the Illinois game was. It's just, I'm like, what are you doing? You know what? The first 8 weeks of the season should always be mapped out. Always. You know darn well that Alabama, Georgia is a primetime game. You know, based on the schedule, you're going to put Penn State and Illinois probably in primetime. You know, based on the schedule, you're probably going to put UCLA at noon. You know, based on the schedule, you're probably going to put Kent State at 3:30 in the afternoon. Come on, you can figure all that stuff out in the offseason. You got months to figure this out. The last month of the season, I can see flexing games that suddenly become incredibly important. Okay? I got that part. I understand that part. But the first 8 weeks of the season, up until you get to Halloween, man, you should have everything locked in. I don't get it.
I mean, we knew when they announced the game time was 7 or 7:30 that was probably the Fox game, and it took them another four right. days to figure that out.
I know.
How would you like to have be the person that has to set up all their travel that they don't know which where they're sending their crews until it's 5 days beforehand?
Oh, I know. Yep. Crazy. I mean, really. I mean, it's crazy what they do. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But that's me. I know. I feel like I'm. I say that I talk about this all the time, so I feel like I'm whistling in the breeze. But still, you know. Oh well. Dennis Dodd wrote another intriguing another intriguing article on expansion. Mostly dealing with the Pac-12 and the American as to what they're going to do. Something else. It's now you're not talking about people moving in the Power Four conferences. You're not talking about that. Now this is actually these are all Group of Five moves now. Mac Brown said he talked about resigning, but received overwhelming support from the players, so he's not going to resign after the 70-50 loss to James Madison. Said a number of people in the locker room left believing the 73-year-old Brown planned to step down, but on Monday he said that was a misinterpretation. He took full responsibility for the rumors that swirled. He said, I should have put that pressure on them. So I'm disappointed in me. I love my job. I love these kids. I love this place. That's why I hate losing so much. Brown said he effectively offered his resignation to the team if the players believed he was not capable of properly leading the program, but that the players overwhelmingly supported him. He said he sent the team a message 30 minutes to an hour after getting home Saturday night and apologized for his comments and promised he would be better moving forward. Now, I've never had the privilege of meeting Mac Brown. Never. But Joe Paterno talked to me a lot about Mac Brown. And, I mean, certain coaches he talked to me a lot about, you know, Bear Bryant, Sonny Lubick. If you watch a Colorado State game, the field at Colorado State's named after Sonny Lubick. You know, and one of the guys he talked to me about was Mack Brown. Thought the world of Mack Brown. Highly, highly respected Mack Brown. And Brown, like most coaches, has a reputation for taking losses particularly hard. And he told his wife, Sally, he'd improve upon that when he returned to North Carolina. But he still has struggled to change. Well, can you blame somebody for taking a loss hard? You're judged on wins and losses.
Or a 7-year-old man changing.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, though, I mean, you do learn from things.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I'll tell everybody right now, I'll bet any amount I do this show differently today than I did when I first started it. Right? Because over time, I kind of figured a couple of things out that I think were important as to how to go about it, maybe better way of relating to the audience and so forth, whatever. You know, you do make changes. I'm not afraid to make changes. Not in the least. Suit never changes, but he freely admits he's never wrong.
I was going to say there was a lot less suit jokes when you first started. You didn't know him as well.
Yeah, but that changed after a week. Is he even in today?
Nope. Haven't heard from him all weekend, actually.
Okay. Well done. All right. Yeah, I think Steve's going to be doing the Steve Williams, the Shigalemi games, at least for the foreseeable future. How about that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. So, because Kevin has to take care of a couple things that are important. All right, we will take a break. We'll come up with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner. And now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.